This is the Word of God found in John chapter 12, reading verses 20 through 24. John chapter 12, starting with verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. The occasion of this event was getting close to the time that the Lord went to the cross. The Scripture doesn't leave us in doubt about times and places. As a matter of fact, if you read through the Bible, you'll be amazed, if you kind of pay attention to it, as to how precise the times and the years, and even in some cases, the days are. The Bible presents the only consistent, connected, historical timeline going back earlier than 400 B.C. And the Scripture gives lifetimes of men and reigns of kings going back unto earlier than 3500 B.C. It's very precise on times and very precise on locations. The Bible opens itself up to cross-examination. But in this case, it tells us in John chapter 12, verse 1, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany. So he was in the little town of Bethany outside of Jerusalem, 6 days before Passover. And then it tells us in verse 12, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. So you'll find that this is 5 days before Passover. And what day was the Lord crucified? Passover. That's not a coincidence, I say many times. The children of Israel went forth free from Egypt on the night of the first Passover. That feast was kept for centuries after that, and that was the very night that the Lord Jesus Christ was arrested. And they started their day at sundown, and it went to sundown the next day, so it was also the very day that the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. It was on Passover. This is 5 days before Passover. And the Lord goes from Bethany into Jerusalem. And people have heard about him. There's a number of different things they may have heard. Some may have heard about the great miracles that he had been said to raise the dead, to give sight to the blind, to give hearing to the deaf, speech to the mute, cleansing to the lepers, and peace to those that were afflicted with evil spirits. Some people may have heard about his teachings, how remarkable they were. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. The end of that particular lesson, it said that those who heard were astonished, for he taught them not as the scribes, but as one having authority. And so there were people there that may have heard of the miracles, some who may have heard of the teachings, some may have heard that he was hated, and that many of those who didn't like him sought to kill him. There was an effort to try to entrap him. In many words, they asked him one time, is it lawful to pay tribute unto Caesar or not? You know what the intent of that question was? If he was to say, yes, it's certainly lawful, a lot of the zealots that were angry about Roman rule would not like him. If he were to say, no, don't pay that tax. The zealots may have loved him, then he'd be in trouble with the government. But the Lord didn't give a weasel word answer. He gave a very true, important answer for us to understand. He took a penny. He said, whose image and superscription do you see on this penny? And they said, Caesar's. And then he gave them their answer. Render therefore unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, and render unto God that which is God's. And what belongs to Caesar? He's got his imprint on a little stamp of metal. Give it to him. But your very image is made after the image of God. The pieces of metal, send them to Caesar. You give your hearts, your souls, your bodies, and your life to God. There are many such things where they tried to entrap him. One time they brought him a woman taken in the very act of adultery and said, Master, Moses says that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? Again, the question was meant to entrap. If he was to say, sure, Moses said it, stone her, then what word would go out was, this is a harsh, cruel man who doesn't understand human condition. If he were to say, no, I think that you ought to let her go, it's not that big a deal. The word that would go out would be, this is a man who deliberately breaks the law of Moses. You remember the answer he gave them. He stooped down and wrote in the dirt as if he heard them not. And when they continued to press him, he stood up and faced the audience and said, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And then he stooped down and began writing again. You see, it's not that the Lord was just saying, hey, we're all sinners, let adultery go. That's not what he was saying. God upholds, he upholds right and wrong as clear as they can be. He's the establisher of right and wrong. You know what the Lord was pointing out? Is they hadn't met the legal case for executing someone even under the law of Moses. Not only were you to have the testimony of at least two witnesses, which they had, but you, in this kind of a case, were to bring the woman and the man, which they hadn't. Legally, they hadn't made their case. Practically, he was giving the case, hate the sin, love the sinner. Spiritually, he was giving the case where he stooped down and then lifted up himself, that he would stoop down to come to the very earth as a human being and then lift up himself on the cross to pay for sins precisely like this adultery that had been committed and this self-righteous harshness that these men that had brought her were committing. You see, the Lord always gave an answer of righteousness, love, holiness, and even practicality. So they might have been there to hear those that hated him. They might have been there to see the one who was so targeted to be slain. Might have been there for his miracles. Might have been there for his teachings. Might have been there for his serving as a target. Number of reasons. But he came into Jerusalem fulfilling a prophecy in the book of Zechariah, seated upon a donkey that nobody had ever ridden, and the foal of that donkey. And as he went into Jerusalem, there were people crying, Hosanna in the highest! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And he rode into Jerusalem. And as he rode in, his disciples were with him. And we find the verses that we read now. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. Greek meant somebody that was not living in Judea or possibly even Samaria or Galilee, but primarily Judea. And there were a lot of Jews scattered throughout the world at this time. The Assyrian Empire, about 700 years earlier, had captured most of the northern 10 tribes and scattered them throughout the Middle East. And then about 100 years later, about 500 or 600 B.C., the Babylonians had come and conquered Jerusalem and taken the people of Judah away captive near Babylon. And then the king of Persia overcame Babylon and bade as many of the Jews as were willing to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple, which some of them did, but not all of them. And so as a result of the dispersion of the Assyrians and the Babylonians and the Persians, there were there were Jewish people all over the Middle East at this time, including in Greece. Because as the Persian Empire became weaker, Alexander the Great came down and took the area occupied by the Persian Empire. And when he came into Judea and to Jerusalem, they went out with the prophecy of the book of Daniel and showed how the king of Greece would overcome the king of Persia. And Alexander was very gentle to the Jews, but his successors among his generals were not. And so again they were dispersed, not only through Babylon and Assyria and the regions of the Persian Empire, but even westward into Greece. And it came to pass that Jews that were not living in the area of Judea and Samaria and Galilee, many of them were referred to as Greeks. But I want you to notice this. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. These were Greeks that worshiped God during Passover. That was the feast that was coming. It's 5 days away. And they were there to worship God at Passover. And so it says, "The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus." Since Philip was of Galilee, that was kind of far away from Jerusalem, and they were considered kind of on the outskirts. Maybe these folks felt comfortable talking to Philip because he was not really in the from the area of Judea. And so they came to him and said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Today, you and I would say that more like, "Mister, we would like to see this man Jesus." They wanted to see him. What was all of this stir about when he rode into Jerusalem? Why were people talking about him? Was he a prophet? Was he a miracle worker? Was he a deceiver? We want to see him. Maybe if we look on him, we can make up our minds better. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. So Philip shares this with Andrew, which was Simon Peter's brother. And Philip and Andrew come to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, "Lord, there's some Greeks, there's some folks from far off here to keep Passover. They want to see you." And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Now, does that seem like a straightforward answer to this comment to you? "We would like to see Jesus." The Lord says, "The hour is come." Because of all those reasons, people might have wanted to see Jesus Christ. Miracles, or teachings, or unpopularity. None was so great as what he was about to do in 5 days. This was the reason he had come. The miracles pointed to God's greatness. It later on, perhaps with some comfort to the disciples. We enjoy reading about these miracles. They just show us that this was more than a prophet. Shows us that this man indeed was more than just an ordinary man. But the reason Jesus Christ came was to die. He came to lay down his life. He said, "No man taketh my life from me. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again." So was Jesus Christ murdered or slain or killed? Yes, because the hatred in the hearts of the ones who cried for him to be crucified was great. And if anyone hates somebody without a cause, they've committed murder in their heart. But I want you to know that no man would have even arrested Jesus Christ had he not suffered it to happen. In the very Garden of Gethsemane, when they came to arrest him, he said, "Whom seek ye?" They said, "We seek Jesus of Nazareth." And the Lord said, "I am he." And they all fell flat down on their face. Now he could have left them flat down on their face and walked away and they never would have found him. But he didn't say that. He said again, "Whom seek ye?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And he said, I've told you that I am he. If you therefore seek me, let these go their way, so the disciples might go. Simon Peter, having been instructed to take a sword, had a sword, but he hadn't been instructed to use it, but he decided to anyway. He drew out his sword and sliced off the ear of one of the ones that had come to arrest him, and the Lord bade him put the sword away. And he healed the ear of that servant, and he said, Simon Peter, put away thy sword, for they all that take the sword shall perish by the sword. Do you not know that I could call my Father, and he would presently give me here 12 legions of angels? So the Lord suffered himself to be arrested, to be unjustly tried before the Sanhedrin, to be again unjustly tried before Pontius Pilate, who had enough judicial acumen to declare him innocent, saying, I find no fault in him, but then bowed to the political will of the crowd, saying, take ye him and crucify him. And he washed his hands, and they took him away to Golgotha and crucified him. And there, as they crucified him, men did what they could to torment him. He had been scourged. He had a crown of thorns on his head. He had nails through his hands and his feet. People had spat on him. People were mocking him. People were telling him to come down from the cross so they could believe him. They were doing all that. That's just what man could do. That's the tip of the iceberg. That's very little. What really happened in the great significance happened when man had done everything and Satan had done everything he could do. Darkness fell over the land and God the Father poured out justice and wrath, vengeance and anger upon his only begotten Son to pay for the price of the sins of all that were chosen in Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. Let me tell you, the number chosen in Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world were a particular people more numerous than the stars of the sky and the sands of the sea from every nation, tongue, kindred, and people. God has a physical chosen people. They are known as Israelites and later on as Jews. But God has a spiritual chosen people from every nation, spiritual Israel that he chose in Christ before the foundation of the world. And when the Lord laid down his life and suffered in the darkness, he paid for all the sins of those people. All of them. All of them. And when the sins were finished being paid for, he said, it is finished. And then light eventually began to dawn again. And Jesus Christ commended his spirit into the hands of his Father and died. And they took his body down from the cross. First, they needed to verify the death, because that was short for a crucifixion. Crucifixions could go on for days. He had only been on the cross for 6 hours. They hastened the death of the thieves next to him. They crushed their legs so that the weight of their body would suffocate them, because it was Sabbath the next day and they had to get this business taken care of. So those thieves died. But the Lord Jesus Christ, they came to see if they needed to break his legs, and they didn't. He had already laid down his life. So they needed to verify the death, and a soldier took a spear and pierced the side of his body, and forthwith came blood and water, verifying the death. In Zechariah chapter 11, I believe it says, they shall look on him whom they have pierced. And so, Scripture was fulfilled and he was buried in the ground. And that's what the Lord told Philip and Andrew there. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. How is this an answer to, sir, we would see Jesus? Well, you know, you and I, at least I can say this for me, and I expect for you, wouldn't you like to have seen the man Christ Jesus? Wouldn't you like to have seen him walking around Galilee or Judea? Wouldn't you like to have seen him still the waves and the waters and all that? I would. That's not the time of history I was born in. But you know what? To see what he has accomplished with his death and burial and life, resurrection, we get to see that by grace. When you see that he came to his hour and fulfilled and triumphed in his hour on the cross and he saved all his people. And when you go into the presence of the Lord, or you hear about it in advance in the gospel, you see, you get kind of a preview, told you. It's kind of like a movie trailer. but it's not as good as the whole thing. Now that's really putting it down low, because the gospel itself is a miracle. But oh, when the reality the gospel tells about, when you get to see that, that will be the best view of Jesus Christ, whom he said, "My hour has come, the hour that I should be glorified." But then he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone." If you take a little grain of wheat and you just leave it out there, it just stays one grain of wheat. But if you take it and you make a hole in the ground and you cover that grain of wheat up, if you come and dig that up several days later, it's like the corn of wheat or the grain of wheat's not there anymore. It's changed, it's transformed, it's germinated. And then as time goes by, it springs out of the ground and it gets taller and taller. Then it begins to bear offshoots itself and other grains of wheat form. And by, you've got maybe hundreds of grains of wheat from that one corn of wheat. If the Lord Jesus Christ had not gone to the cross, after God had judged humanity, there would be one person that could abide that judgment. That would be the Lord Jesus Christ. But because he went to the cross and then went to the grave and paid for those sins, the fact of the matter is, that is like a seed being planted and germinated. And as a result of that mighty work, there will be millions and millions, maybe billions and billions, at the harvest time in the presence of the Lord God in glory. And that very example is used in the chapter where Paul is talking about the resurrection in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. When people are saying, "Wait a minute, resurrection, how's a dead body going to come up? We're talking zombies here. I've dug up graves. There's nothing there anymore. It's just dirt." Paul says, "You're asking foolishly." He says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says, and starting with verse 35, "But some man will say, 'How are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come?' Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body." He says, you see, you're asking, how is a body going to be resurrected? And he says, a grain of wheat is not what you get when you plant it. You get a stalk, you get a plant, you get something much more glorious. God's given it a body as it has pleased him. Then he goes on to say, "All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And this is the same lesson that Jesus Christ was telling his disciples about. People want to see me. They may not understand why they want to see me. But the Lord Jesus Christ was telling his disciples something very valuable. His children would all see him. See him risen. Risen from the dead. Risen from the death of the cross. Risen from the triumph of the cross. And they would see him without fail, without one missing, when they themselves were risen with their spiritual, powerful, incorruptible bodies, they will see Jesus Christ. May God bless you.